Welcome back, everybody. I'm Rick Pettigrew. Our stories from this past week of Archaeologica are about new and no doubt controversial proposed dating for the Monte Verde site in Chile, a study of democracy and self-rule across time and space, a surprising genetic study of the Western Pacific Islands of Palau, and a major new analysis of Iron Age hordes in Northern England. We'll get to those in a few seconds. Thanks to everyone for supporting our subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, available at heritagetac.org. We have hundreds of titles you can binge upon, including our recent video series about searching for the lost aircraft of Amelia Earhart. Please help us spread the word. Again, that link is heritagetac.org. Our tour program, TAC Tours, will continue in September 2026 with our tour of Scotland's most important megalithic sites, including those in the Orkney Islands and the Outer Hebrides. Registration is now open for that. The link to our tour program is at archaeologychannel.org/tours. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. And now, here's Laura Kennedy with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy, and these are the headlines in archaeological and historical news for the week of March 15th through the 21st, 2026. Our first story this week comes from southern Chile, where a new study has dated the famous Monte Verde archaeological site between 4,200 and 8,200 years old, not some 15,000 years old, as has long been believed. The researchers argue that this monumental new dating contradicts recent proposals about when and how humans entered South America. As reported by phys.org, most archaeologists in the 1970s believed that humans entered the Americas through the Beringia land bridge from Asia around 14,200 years ago or later. In this model, people then migrated southward through the ice-free corridor between two giant continental ice sheets. In 1997, a study of Monte Verde, led by Thomas Dillehay, dated the site to 14,500 years old, surprising the archaeological community and effectively overturning the Clovis first hypothesis. That date was older than the oldest human sites in Alaska and 1,500 years older than the Clovis people of North America, who were previously considered the oldest Americans. Many scholars then suspected that the first Americans bypassed the ice by traveling along the Pacific coast to reach South America. University of Wyoming professor Todd Surivel led this new round of dating, working closely with Claudio Latorre, Cesar Mendez, and Juan Luis Garcia from the Pontifical Catholic University of Chile. As they noted in the journal Science, it is the first site study not involving the original researchers since their discovery 50 years ago. Monte Verde lies next to the Chinchihuapi Creek, which branches out from the Mayín River. The team sampled and dated 9 alluvial deposits from the creek's banks. They concluded that the 14,000-year date came from redeposition along the creek, where Ice Age wood from upstream had been recycled into younger deposits. Beneath the occupation layer at the site, the research team found a deposit of 11,000-year-old volcanic ash, a regionally known stratigraphic marker. This finding contradicts what had been considered proof that humans were present at that time and is another piece of evidence against the previously proposed timeline of settlement in the region. Surivel and his colleagues now propose that humans settled in the area no later than 8,600 years ago. This study follows up on earlier work of Surivel and colleagues published in 2022, in which they also addressed proposals that humans arrived in the region more than 14,000 years ago. They argued that the pre-Clovis conclusion was erroneous due to the mixing of artifacts over time. However, Dillehay and others have pointed out that the Surivel team did not explore the Monte Verde deposits that Dillehay worked on, so their results do not actually contradict Dillehay's findings. In relation to another well-known pre-Clovis site, the Cooper's Ferry site in Idaho archaeologist Lauren Davis of Oregon State University has published a detailed defense of the site's stratigraphy and dating. We anticipate strong scientific responses to the newly published interpretations of the Monteverdi site and a new round of lively debate. The consensus still appears to be strong that Clovis people were not the first Americans. Next, we examine a collection of ancient societies across Europe, Asia, and the Americas, as a new study is tracing the history of democratic governance beyond Greece and Rome. As described by SciNews, the concept of democracy has its roots in the Greek word demokratia, which means a system of government involving rule by the people rather than by authority figures. Western social science often assumes that key democratic features, including checks on concentrated power and citizen participation in governance, were present only in the ancient Mediterranean and were revived only in Renaissance-era Europe. Previous research has rarely tested the assumption that democracy was initially exclusive to the West. According to Dr. Gary Feynman, the MacArthur Curator of Mesoamerican and Central American Anthropology at the Field Museum in Chicago, his team's new research shows that many societies around the world had methods of giving a voice to ordinary people. As they detailed in the journal Science Advances, they evaluated their selected societies on two dimensions of governance. The first was the amount of power concentrated into one individual or institution. The second dimension was governmental inclusiveness, assessing how much the majority can participate. The team of archaeologists from a variety of institutions examined 40 cases spanning 31 political units around the world and over thousands of years. For societies that lacked written records, researchers relied on other indicators of social structure, like urban planning. They linked democratic societies to broad, open urban areas and public buildings, while autocracies were associated with a lack of public spaces for information exchange. Archaeologists used these indicators to rank societies on an autocracy index, ranging from very autocratic to very collective. They found both democratic and autocratic societies across the ancient world. Notably, they documented that autocracy was not correlated with population size or the number of political levels, contradicting the supposition that large-scale societies lead to strong rulers. In fact, autocracy was correlated with how authority was financed. Monopolizable revenue sources like mines, slave labor, or war plunder were more likely to lead to autocratic governance. Societies constructed around more collective revenue sources, like broad internal taxes or community labor, were more likely to be democratic. Researchers also found that more democratic systems had less economic inequality. In addition to the notion that democracy's foundations are exclusively Western, this study also challenges the belief that autocracy and inequality are natural outcomes of growth and complexity. Our third story takes us to the Western Pacific Ocean to visit the nation of Palau, where a new genetic study has proved that the first settlers of its 340 islands were of mixed ancestry. As reported by phys.org, the scholarly consensus previously had been that the first settlers of these remote Pacific islands were East Asian migrants. The Austronesian expansion began around 5,000 years ago and involved the migration of people from places including Taiwan to the Philippines and then to more distant islands like Palau. Researchers had assumed that these Austronesian migrants began to mix with Papuan groups from the south more than 2,500 years ago, a considerable time after they arrived in the region. Papuans are the indigenous people of New Guinea and the surrounding area, and have inhabited the region for tens of thousands of years. To test this belief, an international team of researchers led by Yu Chen Liu and other Harvard University archaeologists analyzed the genomes of 21 individual skeletons from four sites on Palau. As they described in the journal Cell, this long-held assumption of late mixing may not apply to Palau. According to the team's radiocarbon dating, these individuals lived between 1,100 and 3,200 years ago. The researchers also performed isotopic analysis on the remains to learn more about their dietary patterns, as a diet rich in seafood can make an individual falsely appear to be many years older. To determine the origins of each part of the Palawan genome, the team compared it against thousands of ancient and modern datasets. When two separate groups intermix, so does their DNA. These pieces of blended DNA then mutate over generations, allowing scientists to measure the lengths of shared segments and calculate how many generations ago the initial intermixture occurred. The team found that the first inhabitants of Palau had begun to genetically mix 4,000 years ago, before they came to the island. Their DNA was around 60% East Asian and 40% Papuan. This genome is also remarkable for persisting for almost 3,000 years, which is the longest recorded period during which a remote Oceanian population has remained genetically unchanged. This finding suggests that previous assumptions about the initial settlement of the Pacific were wrong. Rather than traveling directly from Taiwan through the Philippines with minimal local interaction, the first Palauans likely followed a more complex path, probably through eastern Indonesia, that involved deeper interactions with various populations. Our final story this week comes from northern England, where archaeologists have unearthed two incredible Iron Age metalwork hoards. These hoards provide the first evidence in Britain of four-wheeled wagons during the period, reshaping our understanding of wealth and technology in ancient Britain. As reported by Heritage Daily, metal detectorist Peter Heads initially discovered the site in 2021. A team supported by the British Museum and the Portable Antiquities Scheme excavated the area in the North Yorkshire village of Melsonby in 2022. As they laid out in the journal Antiquity, the research team conducted geophysical surveys as they examined the site. Their results revealed that the hoards were hidden underground within a complex network of enclosures and trackways. These settlement features connect to the nearby Stanwick Royal Site, a significant late Iron Age center associated with the Brigantes tribe. Many of the items in Hoard 1, the larger of the two deposits, seem to have been arranged methodically, suggesting that the artifacts were intentionally buried together. Among this batch were vessels, horse harness fittings, weapons, and 28 iron wheel tires that had been deliberately bent. The team also found an inverted cauldron and odd iron brackets that were likely attached to vehicles. Hoard 2, while smaller, contained more intact artifacts. Due to severe corrosion, researchers had to dig out the intact hoard and transfer it to their lab to analyze via a CT scan. They found a dense bundle of artifacts that had likely been buried in organic material. These items included spears, harness components, and copper alloy tubes. Together, both hoards comprise around 950 fragments from 300 original objects, all dating between 100 BC and AD 70. Around 75% of these artifacts are connected to horse-drawn vehicles, including evidence that hints at the use of four-wheeled wagons. Such wagons were common in continental Europe at the time, but were previously undocumented in Iron Age Britain. This finding suggests new influences and technological connections during this period, a time when Britons were increasingly in contact with the Roman world. Furthermore, the scale of the hoards indicates that their burials were part of a large-scale, structured, and symbolic event. Currently, researchers hypothesize that they were ritual depositions related to elite funerary practices or displays of power and wealth. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. Also, be sure to check out our growing subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, at heritagetac.org. I'm Laura Kennedy, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.